The Senate will please come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. George.
Seven.
Girard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Przonsky. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors. The Pledge of Allegiance will be given today by Senator Bruce Starr. Our invocation today is by Pastor Chris Hayden of the Trinity Covenant Church in Salem.
I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Holy and gracious God of us all, we humbly seek the joyful mercy of your presence to hallow this hall and consecrate each servant here for your divine purpose for your people. We thank you for the dedication and sacrificial service of each of our senators, and pray that together they might more clearly see your loving desire for our state community, what both compassion and righteousness require of us. In this anxious time of instability and uncertainty, grant our senators, your servants, the shalom and strength of your Holy Spirit. Free them from anxiety and fear and the confusion and discord they cause. Grant them clarity of vision and passion of purpose, conveyed by the gift of trusting in you and your wisdom. But how can we know, O Lord, when your wisdom is guiding us? Perhaps when our heart's desire is to lay aside personal ambition and selfish agendas, to pursue the good of all, when we can have confidence in the integrity of our goals and courage in the risks we must take, when we are willing to listen and compromise and seek the path of peace, so that your people might be served with mercy and compassion, and the kind of justice that will cause our state to shine like a beacon of hope in these dark times. Heavenly Father of us all, renew in each of us such a love for our own children that we would see all of Oregon's children as our own, that we would bear their hurts and hopes in our own hearts. Grant us such joy in our families and peace in our communities that our gratitude would compel us to seek the same blessing for every family in our state, the poor, the homeless, the hopeless, the most vulnerable, and the least heard. Give us such compassionate hearts that we will be able to see as you do, that every Oregonian is our own sister and brother, and that by your command of loving kindness, we are our sister's and brother's keeper. O God, we trust that it is for your sacred purpose that each of these senators is here, chosen for such a time as this. Bless them with wisdom, humility, patience, strength, and the grace to sacrifice self in the pursuit of justice and healing for your people. Break their hearts with compassion and make them bold with courage to lead our state as a bright light of unity, charity, and hope. Grant them joy in each other's presence and in yours. In the name of Jesus and by every name in which we hold you holy, so may it be. Amen.
Our honorary pages today, guest of Senator Morris, are Desiree Stannart, Mackenzie Smith, Samantha Heward, Nikki Gangwer, and Sarah Duggan. And our page as a guest of Senator Girard today is Jacob Anderson. Thank all of you for providing service to the Senate today, and we hope you enjoy your day in your state capital. Courtesies of the Senate. Chair recognizes Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to echo the courtesies of the Senate to Pastor Chris Hayden for delivering today's invocation. My legislative aide, Elizabeth, attends Pastor Hayden's church, Trinity Covenant Church, and I can see why she is so inspired by him. I would also like to ask for courtesies of the Senate today for my newest legislative intern, Eldi Hrubos. And she is from Honolulu, a senior at Willamette University. She's double majoring in political science and Chinese studies and she aspires to go into the Foreign Service. And LD loves to travel, and we are very lucky to have her. She is a complete volunteer. She's not even getting class credit. She just is very interested in what we do here, and it's been a wonderful addition to our office. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator, and welcome to the Senate, and thank you for helping Senator Burdick and all of us in the Senate, and we hope you enjoy your experience here. Are there further courtesies? Remonstrances? Message from the Governor.
To the Honorable President of the Senate, the Senate of the Legislative Assembly, attached to the list of the Governor's appointments to state boards and commissions subject to state and confirmation in the manner provided by RS 171562 and RS 171565. These appointments are reappointments for submitted reconsideration upon Senate confirmation. Sincerely, Ted Kulongoski, Governor. State Apprenticeship and Training Council, Jason Landon. Oregon Government Ethics Commission, Gary Wilhelms. Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots, Arminda Ferris. Oregon Transportation Commission, Alan Brown, David Lohman.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Senator Atkinson, for what purpose do you rise?
The order of remonstrances.
Without objection, we'll return to the order of remonstrances. Senator Atkinson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I was asked to speak very briefly on Women's History Month, and I hope that in Southern Oregon, Father James Clifford is listening, because this is about the Sisters of the Holy Names and Sisters of Providence. In our Oregon history, in 1859, a date that is right above your left shoulder, Mr. President, a group of Catholic nuns from Canada braved the difficult journey to Oregon to provide medical and educational services in our state. Their leader was Mary Rose Dorcher. She helped form the Sisters of the Holy Names and almost immediately took the sisters to establish a boarding school and academy in Portland using many books, music and art supplies they brought with them for teaching materials. The school was named the St. Mary's Academy and is the oldest continuously run secondary school in our state. A year before, in 1859, the Sisters of Providence built the first permanent hospital in the Northwest. Unfortunately, they built it across the river in Vancouver, which they later moved to Portland when St. Vincent de Paul Society donated some land. To support St. Vincent's Hospital, the sisters went on what they called rural, quote, begging tours, traveling around the state on horseback collecting donations. You will know, Mr. President and colleagues, that the Providence medical system was propped up from this very leadership of the Sisters of the Holy Names and Sisters of Providence, and I have a special connection to the Providence health system, and this is your Oregon Minute.
Thank you very much, Senator. Are there further remonstrances? If not, we'll return to the regular order of business. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, the Speaker informed the House has passed House Bills 2166, 2076, 2039, 2050, 2133, 2206, 2362, 2427, 2262, and has signed Senate Bill 54.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8551, committee report summary number 28 was distributed to members March 3rd, and number 29 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the journal in the status report. So order. Reports from special committees, propositions and motions, action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. Request a 15-minute caucus.
Senator Devlin has requested a 15-minute caucus. Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. President. We request a 15-minute caucus.
Okay. So this is it. We'll go to caucus, and we'll return to the floor at 10:45, and we will be in recess till 10:45. The Senate will please come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Yes. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
A quorum is present. The Senate recessed following the order of action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation and will resume under the order of introductions and first reading of Senate measures. So ordered.
Senate Joint Resolution 24, directing the Emergency Board to make certain budget and expenditure limit adjustments within legislative branch as necessary for support of legal proceeding if undertaken to ensure or facilitate an implementation of forest resource management plans. Senate Joint Resolution 25, proposed amendment to Oregon Constitution related property taxes. Senate Joint Resolution 26, proposed amendment to Oregon Constitution related Oregon Budget Reserve Fund. Senate Joint Resolution 27, proposed amendment to Oregon Constitution related viability of physicians. Senate Joint Resolution 29, proposed amendment to Oregon Constitution related surplus general revenue funds. Senate Bill 657 related expansion of land use goals. Senate Bill 661 relating to state capital state parks. Senate Bill 662 relating to alternative energy. Senate Bill 663 relating to vacancy in office of director of irrigation district. Senate Bill 679 related to health plan benefit dividends paid for healthy lifestyles. Senate Bill 691 relating to compensation for loss of value of private forest land relating to regulation of forest practices. Senate Bill 693 relating to bone work therapy. Senate Bill 694 relating to school financing coin emergency. Senate Bill 697 relating to grants for activities that increase student achievement coin emergency. Senate Bill 698 relating to thermal field sanitation. Senate Bill 699 relating to entitlement of judgment in certain causes of action. Senate Bill 701 relating to loan repayment program for nurse educators. Senate Bill 713 relating to drug testing for public assistance clients. Senate Bill 714 relating to tax credit for homeschool education. Senate Bill 715 relating to regional analysis of urban growth boundaries. Senate Bill 716 relating to meningococcal disease. Senate Bill 717 relating to polarity practitioners. Senate Bill 718 relating to confidentiality of strategic investment program negotiations. Senate Bill 719 relating to urban growth boundary expansion area revolving loan fund appropriate money and court emergency. Senate Bill 720 relating to domestic relations. Senate Bill 721 relating to automatic dialing and announcing devices. Senate Bill 722 relating to San Francisco emergency and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 723 relating to Trask River. Senate Bill 724 relating to maritime agriculture. Senate Bill 725 relating to women's veterans health care needs and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 726 relating to reservation enterprise zones. Senate Bill 727 relating to abusive work environments. Senate Bill 728 relating to controlled substances. Senate Bill 729 relating to podiatry. Senate Bill 730 relating to foreclosure and court emergency. Senate Bill 731 relating to garnishment. Senate Bill 732 relating to agreement among the states to elect the president by national popular vote. Senate Bill 735 relating to Oregon prescription drug program and court emergency. Senate Bill 736 relating to nursing. Senate Bill 737 relating to criminal fines and appropriate money. Senate Bill 738 relating to accelerated college credit programs. Senate Bill 739 relating to testing of wells. Senate Bill 740 relating to water rights and court emergency. Senate Bill 41 relating to protection of Metolius River Basin. Senate Bill 743, when electricity from low-impact hydroelectric facilities may be used to comply with renewable portfolio standards. Senate Bill 744, relating to urban renewal, prescribing effective dates. Senate Bill 745, relating to attorney fees and court emergency. Senate Bill 53, relating to Oregon Youth Authority, appropriate money and court emergency. Senate Bill 762, relating to evidence obtained as a result of seeking medical assistance. Senate Bill 763, relating to transferable development credits. Senate Bill 764, relating to high school diploma requirements. Senate Bill 765, relating to farm processing equipment tax credit. Senate Bill 766, relating to guarantee association. Senate Bill 768, relating to malt beverage cost recovery fees, appropriate money, and court emergency. Senate Bill 901, relating to benefit plans for education district employees, and court emergency.
Transmitted to the President's desk for a referral, second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 106, relating to Oregon Youth Authority. Senate Bill 124, relating to operating a vehicle without driving privileges. Senate Bill 188, relating to Oregon Racing Commission licensing actions.
Passed calendar. Chair recognizes Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request to return to courtesies.
If there's no objection, go ahead.
Thank you, colleagues. I would like to welcome a former senator, Ms. Jane Cease, who served in this body from 1978 to 1991 and in this state Senate from 1984 until 1991 in the very district that I represent. And Jane, it's wonderful for you to be here today. And let's welcome former Senator Jane Cease.
Thank you, Senator. And welcome back, Senator Cease. Nice to have you here. We'll return to the regular order of business and the third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 36, William Toyne of Interstate Bridges.
Chair recognizes Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 36 makes it explicitly clear that Multnomah County can toll the bridges it owns over the Willamette River. Urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senators. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Starr, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 36. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
George. George. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Hass. Cruz. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Ferrioli. Voting no. Boquist. Gerard. Cruz. Walker. Winters. 24 ayes.
Senate Bill 36, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 44, relating to kindergarten coin emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Hass.
Mr. President, this is the full-day kindergarten bill. It is a compromise in the most complete sense of that word. Some of us believe state policy should be changed so that schools provide full-day kindergarten instead of the half-day we now provide. And really, it's not even a half-day, it's more like 2.5 hours. Some of us believe kindergarten, a full day of kindergarten, is every bit as important as 4th grade or 8th grade or 12th grade. In fact, we had testimony in our education committee from educators suggesting it would be better to cut a half day out of any day in the spectrum, just not kindergarten. They said that because the research shows kids learn to read proficiently earlier, they develop better social skills, and they show up for 1st grade better ready to learn. Experts say full day kindergarten is a factor in reducing high school dropout rates. But alas, we don't always get what we want in our process. The economic realities point to a very difficult time financially for schools. And so what this bill does is recognize this reality and use it as an opportunity. Mr. President, this bill sets 2012 as a target date to begin implementing full-day kindergarten in Oregon. If there was one common theme we heard from the many hours of testimony in our committee, it is that we should lock in a date to begin full-day kindergarten. But before we get to that date, we are taking advantage of the next 2 years to create a full-day kindergarten implementation commission charged with figuring out exactly how much it would cost and how to work out the logistics. Ever since I've been advocating for implementing full-day kindergarten, the cost has been so elusive. We had testimony from small school districts, for example, on what it may cost, and they told us that it may actually save them money because they wouldn't have that midday transportation problem and they'd be able to hire full-time teachers instead of part-time teachers for kindergarten. and for many others, of course, it would be an additional expense. We had lots of testimony from schools who said that while it may cost a little bit more, it'd be a great value because so many of the fixed costs are there, whether we have half-day kindergarten, full-day kindergarten, or anything in between. Please remember, colleagues, that Oregon does have kindergarten now, and a half-day of kindergarten is very expensive to deliver. And this is the financial calculus that this committee will look at, incorporate, as well as capacity issues for us in 2011. It's my hope in 2011 that this commission will give us a real price tag and let us know exactly what we need to do to pull the trigger. Now, on our committee, the senator from Douglas County summed it up best, I think, by saying it's not a matter of whether we do this, it's a matter of when we do this. And finally, the bill also extends the practice of allowing some school districts to charge parents a supplemental fee when they offer full-day kindergarten. About 50 school districts in Oregon do this now. We needed to do this technical fix last year in February, if you'll recall, after a court ruling said that public schools cannot charge tuition, and this extends that technical fix. But colleagues, after today, let's not vote on this technical fix again. Let's make this the last time and move forward with good faith and arm ourselves with the necessary information to make full-day kindergarten a reality. So I ask for your support today, not only in making these changes, but in also sending a signal to Oregonians, especially to parents, that we have not given up on schools, that we're trying to be thoughtful about the future, because one day we will get out of this patch of weeds, and when we do, full-day kindergarten will be waiting. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion. Chair recognizes Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Obviously, as a lifelong educator, this is an issue that I've thought a lot about. First of all, let me say that I praise the work of Senator Haas. He has done a remarkable job of trying to do what, in this economic climate, seemed to be impossible. In 1981, on the floor of this body, I carried the kindergarten bill that required every district in the state to offer kindergarten at some level. At that time, only one district in six even offered kindergarten. I remember my floor speech. Sometimes they're memorable, sometimes they're not, but I remember saying that all districts teach kindergarten, some of them just call it first grade. This measure will get us, hopefully, to the point in a few years that we should already be at. I would like to praise those school districts in this state that offer full-day kindergarten without charging tuition. There are several, and I believe that they are doing the right thing. Jeffersonian democracy tells us that a free public education, universal public education, is a major pillar of American democracy. It has been for over 200 years. It's one of the things that makes our country different. You don't have to be wealthy to get a good education. So although I still philosophically oppose the idea of charging tuition, I am going to take my wife's advice and vote for this bill today. Now, I talked to Billy about this bill, you know, a little pillow talk, and I told her I was going to vote no, and then I would get up and give a vote explanation. She said, Rod, she says, you always tell me that you got to be willing to compromise. You always preach bipartisan support. And now, if you get up and vote no, you're going to look like a hypocrite. Well, we've been married 47 years, and I learned that when I take her advice, I usually end up okay. And when I don't, I usually end up in trouble. So, Senator Haas, I'm a yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President, to the bill. Colleagues, when this issue about paid tuition for kindergarten came up before me on the the House floor. I voted no on that issue because of objections to charging families tuition for public education. I'm going to vote yes on this bill, primarily because, not because I've changed that philosophical objection, but because of the work that's ahead for the implementation committee. And I just want to draw your attention to line 20 in the bill, where it talks about how the committee is going to provide information about not just whether, but how to implement full-day kindergarten programs. That's a very big effort ahead of the committee. I appreciate, and I, again, want to share my appreciation for the work of the senator from Raleigh Hills and for all of his hard work on this issue. But it's critical that we get more information about how to implement full-day kindergarten programs. And so because of the important work of that on that committee, I'm going to be an aye vote, and I encourage you to vote aye on Senate Bill 44A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleague, just briefly, I want to thank my good friend from Raleigh Hills for his work on this issue. We did this in a very collaborative way, and I really appreciate that. And I also want to encourage my good friend from Raleigh Hills as we move forward to look at the other issues we've been talking about, extending the school year and a few issues like that, because I think they're important and need to have full discussion. Colleagues, as we hit the bottom of this depression and we're back down to core services, we will hit a point where some of our systems will be rebuilt. And I think it's prudent for us to be looking now at these systems and how we rebuild them when we come out of this depression. I think Senator Hass has shown a great deal of interest in this, and I stand ready to help him with that effort.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not, Senator Hass, do you wish to close?
Yes, Mr. President. I appreciate this debate and the kind words. I appreciate the passion from the senator from Mid-Multnomah County. He's right that some schools actually do full-day kindergarten today by dipping into their own general funds and sacrificing something else. There is a huge appetite for this. He's also right, I think, in listening to his wife. He's always right. And the senator from Douglas County, I appreciate his help and collaboration on this. He's right about full year-round education. In fact, I left an article on your desk today, colleagues, from the Secretary of Education, who also is in that same page, that we need to extend school years. It's very intuitive. The kids do a better job when they're in school longer. So we all know the realities that we live in here, but this does move the ball forward in the realm of full-day kindergarten. I very much appreciate your encouragement on this. Next session, we'll have even better information to move the ball down the field even further.
Thank you, Senator. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 44. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, President Courtney. Excused, Ferrioli, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 44, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 185, relating to State Department of Agriculture agreements.
Chair recognizes Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the consideration of Senate Bill 185 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on Thursday, March 5th's calendar.
Senator George has moved that consideration of Senate Bill 185 be placed from its taken from its place on today's calendar and moved to the Thursday, March 5th calendar. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. The committee had a great deal of discussion, understanding the technical nature of this bill. committee felt comfortable, but there's members on the floor that would like to get briefed by the Department of Ag before we move forward with the bill, and it seems reasonable, and so I'd ask that you vote aye on the motion.
Thank you, Senator. If there's no further discussion, Senator George, do you wish to close on the motion? The question is on taking Senate Bill 185 from today's calendar and placing it on the Thursday, March 5th calendar. All in favor of the motion will signify by saying aye. 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 Those opposed, no. The motion has carried. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 189, Relief for Forest and Fire Protection.
Chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this bill, Senate Bill 189, came out of your Environment and Natural Resources Committee on a 5-0 vote. Basically, what this measure will allow is an expansion of the membership of the Forest Land Classification Committees to include one member appointed by the State Farm Marshal. It also will authorize the governing bodies of two or more counties to be able to establish a joint Forest Land Classification Committee if they choose to do so, make some other clarifications, and also authorizes the State Board of Forestry to adopt rules to implement these changes. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Prozonsky, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 189. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Hass. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Juan Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli, George, Gerard, not answering, Winters, President Courtney, excused, Ferrioli, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 189, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 195, relating to wave energy and clean emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 195 comes to you with unanimous support from the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Current statutes require that wave energy projects acquire a hydroelectric license from the Water Resources Department. The statute allows small wave energy projects to be placed in the ocean if they are not connected to the grid. This bill, Senate Bill 195, provides a temporary adjustment to the statute by exempting wave energy projects from the No Harm to Fish statute as long as they generate less than 5 megawatts of electricity, that they are located within Oregon's territorial sea, have submitted an application to the Department of State Lands by December 31, 2009, and have a license under the Federal Power Act. Essentially, the passage of this bill would allow small pilot projects to connect to the grid, which is critical in order to test wave energy technology and learn from the potential impacts of it. Senate Bill 195 also requires that the project be constructed and operated under an agreement with multiple state agencies. More importantly, it allows for assistance in developing this agreement by a task force consisting of representatives of each local government and federally recognized Indian tribe affected by the project. Without this bill, pilot projects will continue to be precluded from connecting to the grid. That would prevent the full testing of this new technology to determine its impacts on marine environments. This bill's passage is important to investors in Oregon's wave energy projects so that they may someday realize a return in their investment. This bill sunsets on January 1, 2010 and contains an emergency clause and takes effect on passage. I urge your support of Senate Bill 195.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the bill. Colleagues, as a co-convener of the Wave Energy Project, this is really an important bill. We've got to connect to the grid in order to determine whether we're going to have this alternative energy. It may be that it will not work out, but we'll never know if we don't try. So I really ask for your support for Senate Bill 195.
Thank you, Senators. Is there further discussion? Not Senator Dingfelder. Do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Mr. President, I would like to thank the good senator from District 5 for her hard work. This bill affects the coastal districts, and again, I urge your aye support.
Thank you, Senator. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 195. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer ayes or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juan Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. George. Gerard. Hass. President Courtney. Excused. Ferrioli. 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 195, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. I would like to extend courtesies to the members of North Clackamas Chamber of Commerce leadership class, which is in the gallery. Thank you for coming to your state capital, and hope you enjoy the day. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 233, Blended Crime Victims' Rights and Declaring Emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this bill came out of your Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. What Senate Bill 233 will do is basically complete the process that we as a state and as individual citizens approved through the constitutional review and votes on two initiatives that occurred and subsequent to make certain that victims of crime in this state have an ability to redress a violation of a right they believe has been not honored through the court system or through the criminal justice system. These two measures basically set up a means for the individuals to be able to go forward if they felt that they were not being properly informed or being a participant in the criminal justice process as required by the Constitution to be able to get redress and going through different perspectives. Mr. President, what I do want to do is put on the record for everyone, because I understand there's been some concern and we had some information that's been given to us today to confirm what we have regarding the fiscal impact of this bill. First, I want to make certain the individuals know that we had meeting dates on February 2nd and February 5th. February 5th is the date that we moved the bill out of committee. At the time that we moved the bill out of committee, we had received a verbal that there was an undetermined amount of fiscal cost to Senate Bill 233. Afterwards, we did in fact receive the handwritten notice from LFO regarding the impact on Senate Bill 233, and it's dated February 12th. When you look at that, the expenditure comments and what the impact will be for fiscal 2009-2011 as well as 2011-2013 show nothing. In other words, it's blank. But if you read the analysis that's along with the fiscal statement, it basically goes into three different areas, branches of government or departments that are going to have some type of impact. In the Oregon Judicial Department, it reflects an approximate additional cost of $43,000. In the Public Defender Services of Commission, $46,000. And then the one that seems to cause a lot of concern for many individuals in this body is the Department of Justice says that they anticipate a cost for budgeting of $465,000 and some odd, $465,548. Now, in reading that closer and then getting additional information from the Department of Justice, we have been told that these positions were, in fact, already budgeted and brought into effect on May of 2008. It is my understanding in speaking to counsel for the Judiciary Committee, who in turn talked to the Department of Justice, that those components or those FTEs are in fact budgeted within the Department of Justice's budget that will be going through the Ways and Means process. So, Mr. President, I want to make certain and put this on the record as far as we knew at the time, and based on what we know at this time, there is no determinative number as what the fiscal impact will or won't be, and that's what we have for the record regarding the fiscal statement. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Prozonsky. Under discussion, recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President, to the bill. to the bill.
Colleagues, as the vice chair, I just want to echo what the chairman of Judiciary said. We did hear this in committee. This, even though it says the fiscal impact is indeterminate, it's in the existing budget process already. And so, while I suppose it's indeterminate, it's already determinate that it's in the process, and this is a good bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Boquist. Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank the chair of the Judiciary Committee and the vice chair for clarifying the fiscal discussion about this bill. And as a member of the work group on what led up to Senate Bill 233, I just want to point out that this product is the result of varying interests that have been together for over the past year, starting actually long before that. And the groups participating in the work group included Crime Victims United, National Crime Victim Law Institute, the Attorney General's Office, criminal defense lawyers, county prosecutors, trial courts, parole and probation, and the appellate courts. So, colleagues, this bill is the result of a lot of work from a lot of different interests. It serves an important purpose of placing the procedure in effect for the assertion of victims' rights, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Bonamici. Discussion further. Senator Brzezinski, you wish to close?
No.
Question now arises upon a third reading and final passage. House Senate Bill 233. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Bonnet-Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker, Whitsett, Winters.
Senator Winters on the floor. Move on. She's yes.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Ferrioli. 21 ayes.
Senate Bill 233, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 248, relating to juvenile proceedings.
Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this bill also came out of the Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. Senate Bill 248 is basically creating a default prohibition to keep disclosure from personal information of the victims and witnesses to, going to youth offenders in the juvenile proceedings. We've already had in place, it requires the district, the defense attorneys be requested that information and that they not provide it to their clients. We already have a situation in place as it pertains to adults. This is closing the loop into the Oregon Youth Authority, in the Oregon Youth Juvenile Proceedings. And so this is basically closing the loop, making certain victims and witnesses' personal information is not going to be disclosed in a juvenile proceeding where it's already prohibited within an adult proceeding. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Brzezinski. Discussion. Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 248. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Metzger. Bonnet-Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters.
Senator Winters.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Ferrioli. 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 248, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of the House measures.
House Bill 2039, related unlawfully parked vehicles. House Bill 2050, related non-related foster parent caregiver relationships and juvenile dependency proceedings. House Bill 2133, related to fees charged by tests performed by state public health agency. House Bill 2166, related to state forester. House Bill 2176, related to advisory committee that advises director of Veterans Affairs. House Bill 2206, related to child care. House Bill 2362, related to student assessment and court emergency. House Bill 2427, related to implied consent. House Bill 2462, related to reporting of pesticide use by veterinary purposes.
Transmitted to the President's test referral. Second reading of House measure.
House Bill 5034, related to State Financial Administration and Court Emergency. House Bill 5042, related to State Financial Administration and Court Emergency. House Bill 2420, related to workers' compensation claims for cancer by firefighters.
Pass the calendar. Third reading of House measures. Other business of the Senate, in accordance with SR 8.403, committee referral list number 58, was distributed to members March 3rd. Referrals will be recorded in the Journal of the State's report and so ordered. On announcements, we will not meet on Friday. There will be no session on Friday, March 6th. Any further announcements? Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. Senate Democrats will caucus at 12 noon. Let me repeat that again, at 12 noon.
Okay, Senator Winters, do you have any announcements?
No, Mr. President. Senate Republicans can have the freedom to get your lunch.
Thank you. Any other announcements? If there are no further announcements, without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 tomorrow, Thursday, March 5th.